back to Songs That Send Us. Today we're talking about a Shadden pick. We're excited about it. Actually, Shadden, I should have told you, though, I'm pretty sure Mercury is back in retrograde.
Are you kidding?
So maybe that's why you're having your technical difficulties.
Okay, why did you keep that to yourself, Annie? Please.
I just remembered now that...
Where's the accountability, Annie? Where's the accountability?
Yeah, for yourself. Stop blaming all your issues on me, Shadden.
I'm gonna blame
you
all
wanna
my...
fight? Let's fucking fight.
I'm gonna blame all my issues on Mercury, actually.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
That's acceptable.
Yeah.
Wow, came out fucking racing out this morning.
Yeah,
this evening.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I'm a little concerned.
What's Duchess doing?
She's, like, jumping on me, and I'm sitting very close to this table, and so I'm kind of concerned for her. Actually, I didn't tell you this, but she's half blind now, so we're looking to get her cataract surgery.
Aww.
Yeah,
Duchess.
No.
For those who don't know, Duchess is Shadden's dog. So if you ever hear barking in the background, it's Duchess.
It is. She's a Pomeranian. She's a party Pomeranian. And that's actually what her breed is called, a party Pomeranian.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She loves a party.
She does love a party. But I'm a little frazzled now that I know that Mercury is in retrograde right now.
Don't let it get to you. Don't let it get to you. It's going to be a great episode. Let's start off with what we're listening to right now. What bops do you have for me?
I'm sure you know this song. I think it got quite popular recently on TikTok, as, you know, all of my favorite things do. But it is Willow Smith's kind of side project with Tyler Cole.
Cut him out!
Yes!
Yes. 405 or whatever.
Yeah, no, the song, those are the lyrics. Good job, though. But the song itself is called Meet Me at Our Spot, and it's by their side project.
Oh, Meet Me at Our Spot, yes.
Yeah, it's called The Anxiety.
No, I love that song. It's really good. Willow Smith is so good.
I know. I didn't used to like her stuff, gonna be honest. I didn't like her, the Whip My Hair one, which, to be fair, was her as a child, so her music now is quite different. But the Wait a Minute by her is really good, too. That's like a jam, honestly. And this one's a little more mellow than the other stuff. We're out here vibing to that.
Yes, I agree. Love Willow Smith. She's got a good voice.
Yeah. The one other thing that I've been listening to, I just found out the other day, one of my favorite YouTubers just got engaged, Arden Rose. I don't know if you know her.
Arden Rose? No, I don't know who that is. No.
Well, she was one of my favorite YouTubers back in the day. But she just got engaged, and Will, I think he actually has a book, maybe a book of poetry or something like that. But he made a little video, and my friend sent it to me, and... the song by Tom Rosenthal, Have We Met Before, Have We Met Before, is playing in the background, and is so beautiful and soft, and I was more focused on the song than the video.
I love Tom Rosenthal.
Yes, yeah, exactly, so you might have heard this, but it is a really gorgeous and soft song.
Are you thinking, is she close? Do you struggle with umbrellas? Are you leaving? Are you home? Have you timed this badly? Have we met before? Staying, did you fall? Can you count to 10 in German? Can you whisper? Can you lie? Did you design your own?
What have you been buffing to, Annie?
So I've been listening to, well, I went to Julian Baker on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
So I was listening to her newest album, Little Oblivions, a lot last week. And she was really great live. It was a really good vibe concert. Everyone was really excited to be there. The lighting was so good. She was so good. And besides for that, I'd say the other thing I listened to is, I sent you that TikTok of that unreleased song by, what's her name? Laith Ross. And so there's this song that she posted on TikTok that isn't actually released, but I really liked, so I was like, I should check her up on Spotify and see what else she has out. And so I've been listening to her music a lot. There's not a bunch out, but she has like an EP and a few songs, and she's really good, just like a good singer-songwriter, vibe, and I really enjoy it. It's just pretty and nice.
I agree.
That's what I've been listening to.
Thank you for showing that to me, discovering new artists. Lovely lyricism. But, yeah, also, side note, we need to make it a point not to record when it's Mercury retrograde. I feel like I'm just... We don't mesh. Me and Mercury, we don't mesh. But...
Yeah, you guys have beef.
We've got a lot of beef. Let's, Oh, I will say, actually, I am going to see Quinn 92 tomorrow, by myself. I haven't been to a concert by myself in a long time. My friend bailed on me.
That's gonna be fun, though.
Will it be? I'm a little bit like,
And Chelsea's opening for him, right?
Yes, I believe so. And Tyver does, but...
That'll be great.
Yeah.
It'll be different. No, it'll be good. That's actually funny, because so when I was at the Julian concert, they were posting between the opener and Julian, like, different artists coming soon. And Gatlin is coming, but she's just opening for someone else. And I don't even really know who she's opening for. They're called Okie Dokie. I've never listened to them. I don't know if you know them.
No.
No? Yeah, but I was like, do I go to this concert just to come for the opener and then leave?
Do you like Gatlin that much?
I really like her. I would like to see her. I think she'd be cool in person.
That would be quite the move. But I mean, if tickets are cheap, why not, you know? YOLO vibes.
Yeah, I mean, you're still getting 45 minutes of entertainment out of it.
That is true.
Even if you don't. But we'll see. I probably won't because I think it's like a Wednesday night. That was my fun side tangent.
Oh, yeah, because you have late Wednesdays. Wait, isn't James coming to Minnesota on a Wednesday?
Yeah, that's... I've been working on my semester... Or my planned semester schedule for next semester. And there's a class I really should take, but it's a Wednesday night. And I literally was talking to someone and I'm like, I don't think I'm going to take this class because I know I have James Vincent tickets on a Wednesday night. And I know that teacher would be pissed if I missed, so...
You couldn't skip just one.
I'll just have to take the class another time. They're, like, really serious about us not skipping classes unless we're ill.
Wow.
So I could, like, make up an excuse, but I would feel bad. And honestly, it's like, you do only meet so many times. That's true. If I skip one class that meets once a week, I'm missing a lot of content.
That is true.
But anyways, it's a big side tangent. Tom O'Dell, Another Love. Why did you choose this one?
Tom O'Dell. So, I'm trying to even think how I first heard the song. I don't even know. It probably would have been on the internet somewhere on a fan vid or Tumblr.
Yeah, it would have been, like, 2014 or something.
Well,
like,
yeah, because this came out 2012 as part of his EP, Songs for Another Love, which, gorgeous name there. But then it was also on his album, his debut album, which came out in 2013, A Long Way Down. And I don't know why, but I have memories of him coming to Boston and me being so close to buying tickets. I think this is when we were friends, too.
That's so funny, because same.
Yeah. Maybe we were meant to go together.
May ended up going to that concert.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we were friends yet when he came.
Really?
Because I feel like we were still in the dorms when that happened.
Oh, okay.
But I could be wrong.
Interesting. Yeah, wow, May went and you didn't. That's sad. But yeah, I think it was probably one of those two, either Tumblr or a fan vid, that introduced me to the song. And it is, to this date, one of my fave Tom O'Dell ones. I'm sure it's yours, too.
Yeah, this one, and I think probably, like, Heal. Yeah.
His new stuff is pretty pop, more pop, I think, than his older stuff is kind of tends to be more, like, indie folkish, I think. But this is, his new album was pretty indie pop, which is cool. He can mess around.
Yeah. I think we've talked about it before, but I don't know, I haven't properly listened to his newest album, but I remember when his second album came out, I was kind of disappointed, just because I love Sad Boy Tom O'Dell, and so I just felt like it felt disconnected to me to like hear him have like a poppier sound, but perhaps I should give his new album a proper chance.
I think you're right, we have talked about this, because I remember Numb, I was so hyped when it came out, because I really like it. I would recommend that one. It's a good, a good, not too intensely pop one. But it's really cool how he got his start. He was playing a show, and Lily Allen, who is also British, was at one of his shows, and she really liked his sound. So she introduced him to some people at Columbia who ended up signing him, which that's such a fun, I don't know, way to have your start.
Yeah. No, I love that.
This was also... on an episode of The Vampire Diaries. That's like another reason that it got quite popular. It's obviously his most popular song.
Oh, it's the perfect vibes for Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I think it was a Damon and Elena scene, too. So that's extra appropriate.
Juicy.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I chose this song because, first of all, it's my favorite, but also I feel, like, weirdly nostalgic for the 2010s because it was such a popular and identifiable song of the moment in the 2010s.
Yeah.
Yeah, being in fandom. As we are.
No, absolutely. I mean, I feel like this was a moment. Like, this song, and we mentioned last week, in the fandom world, which we both were part of, this song was huge, too. So maybe that's why we have such a big memory of it.
Yeah. But for context, I literally sent Annie last night the 100 Bellamy and Clark fan vid with this song and a Game of Thrones fan vid with this song. I don't want to spill too much tea if there's...
And I'm sure there's a million other ones, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, yes, so great song for fan vids. We've established that. But also, it's just, like, he... And the reason I was thinking about this, too, he has such a... Really, when you just strip it down, it's just him and a guitar. His voice is beautiful.
Somewhere, you know I care, but it's so cold and I don't know where. I brought you daffodils on a pretty string, but they won't flower like they did last spring. And I wanna kiss you, make you feel alright. I'm just so tired to share my nights. I wanna cry and I wanna love, but all my tears have been used up.
So angsty.
On another love, all my tears have been used up. On another love, all my tears have been used up. On another love. Another love, oh, my tears have been used all.
Oh. He said, it's about a particular relationship that I had. It's that feeling a lot of people have when they're in a new relationship but they can't stop thinking about the last one. And he also said in another instance, the song for me is about trying, really trying with all your heart to be with someone else. The song was written talking to this girl that I really wanted to be with, and I was trying to work out why I couldn't be with her. And it's funny, people sometimes listen to this as though I'm more talking about the last romance, which, to be honest, yes, I think that while listening to this, that he's talking about the last rather than kind of giving it all to this, but we can get into that a whole little bit later. But this is written kind of about when he was kind of a teenager, basically, like 16, 17. And someone broke his heart, as people are wont to do.
That can make sense, though, too, because I feel like there is... I could see how this would be read as melodramatic, which feel kind of aligns with young heartbreak and young love, you know, when it's all do or die. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting to know that.
Well, what did you take it that way to be more, this is just a love song in some senses to the past? Or
I think this is a love song, but I think it doesn't feel like a traditional love song to me because you read it and there's obviously love there for this new person and like wanting to be able to love them, but there's this cloud from the past. And I think there is like a huge sense of defeat in a lot of this song. It feels like he's lost before he's even tried, almost. So it's interesting to him that interesting to me that he says, this is about the new love, not the old love.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't feel very hopeful to the new love in some ways. I mean, there is some imagery that is very loving and caring, but other times it feels very defeated.
Well, I love that you said that because there's a line in particular where he says, I'll be so fucking rude. Words, they always win, but I know I'll lose. And that line, I think, is very much like what you were talking about, because if you know words are what wins in the fight, why do you, will you not win if you're being so fucking rude and, like, trying your hardest, supposedly? You know what I mean? It's like, are you really giving 100%? So I thought that was...
Yeah, or, like, you just setting yourself up to failure because of this past relationship.
Yeah, and that's just one of the dichotomies in this song. And verse one, I literally love every single word in that, every line, because I'm a big fan of when artists do the kind of something and then the opposite in a song, and he does that in every line here. The beginning is so beautiful because of the, and not even just the beginning, the whole song. I really love the piano and the drums and how he uses instrumental.
Yeah, it comes in so beautiful, just as the piano and his voice. And no, I agree with you. I love the whole verse too. I don't know, I love the way he sings certain things. He puts an emphasis on certain words in an interesting way that I think is really nice. But I'm trying to look at this first verse. Mm-hmm. And I want to kiss you, make you feel all right. I'm just so tired to share my nights. So it's like, again, talk about that sense of defeat too. It's like, I want to do this and I want to make you feel all right, but I'm so drained from this last person that I can't do it.
Yeah.
But it almost feels like, yeah, like he's setting himself up for his own failures. But there's still that sense of that strong desire of wanting to be able to be in love with this person and wanting to make it work. It's interesting because I almost read this as a love song about someone you think should be perfect for you, but for some reason you just don't feel it, and it's, you can't quite make it happen. Like, you care about them and you love them, but you're not right together, almost, because of being shaded. Or, like, kind of one of those instances where, like, perfect for each other, what's the trope? Perfect for each other, like, right person, wrong time. That's what I can kind of think of. Like, this person's right, but it's just there's something off about the timing.
I think that's almost his way of thinking when he talked about kind of what the song means to him and how he wrote it. But as a listener, I don't know if you necessarily get that, because it seems it doesn't, I don't know, in my mind, I think part of why I love this is because it's so beautiful and you can feel like the emotion in the lyrics. But then when you really break it down, it's not enough, whatever he's feeling. Which is the opposite of how it makes you feel, I think. But I do really love that line that you mentioned, I'm just so tired to share my nights. Then you have, like, the inverse, I want to cry and I want to love. And usually kind of loving someone is spending your nights with them, you know? And I think I think it just shows, too, like, the level of effort you need to have to be in a relationship and just share things. Your night, so you can't just have that to yourself, you know, anymore. It's, you're sharing that with them.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there is kind of a sense of emptiness too from, I mean, obviously the line have been used, all my tears have been used up, feeling really empty and not having anything to give. And it's interesting though, because I want to cry and I want to love, so it's like I want to feel both ends of the spectrum, but I can't feel anything right now, kind of. So it kind of feels almost like, that's why I feel like the song feels so kind of melancholy, because it's, I can't do either side of that spectrum,
and it's like nothing will ever measure up to that. The last one, the other love.
Yeah. But it's really interesting, this chorus in general, because the chorus is literally just on another love, another love. Like, there's not anything interesting lyrically going on. But I love the chorus. I think it's really beautiful. And he adds in some layering of his voice at some points in the chorus, the first chorus. And then, of course, right after the first chorus, it builds, which we didn't listen to quite yet.
I will say, though, that the second chorus, I do think is more impactful, just because it's after you've had the buildup of the second verse, which we'll probably listen to now in a sec, but it feels so intense, and I think a lot of my love for this song also comes from seeing him play. I haven't physically seen him myself live, but seeing him play it live on some, you know, YouTube videos or whatever, you can just feel his emotion when he sings this, and he gets so into it. He looks like he's back in the past, you know, singing it. And I think an emotional performance always makes it more memorable.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Should we listen to more of it?
My voice.
just love how even just when it's just the instrumental, you can feel the intensity building. He doesn't need words to convey kind of all that he's feeling. But I also love that this song kind of really emphasizes the vulnerability in men. All my tears have been used up.
I don't know. I love the second verse so much. There's just so many lines in it I really love. But I love, as a song builds, obviously, it adds. It's so interesting because the beginning feels so much more just melancholy almost, or just like kind of sad. Yeah. And then it becomes almost rageful, like almost angry. And I'm obsessed with that. Yes. And then I love, obviously, the second verse kind of has those lines. You have like lines like, and if somebody hurts you, I want to fight. But my hands have broken too many times. And I love the line, so I'll use my voice. I'll be so fucking rude. Words that always win, but I know I'll lose. And I think there's something interesting, too, about that anger in the face of still the lines of defeat. Yeah. It's interesting. Almost mad at yourself that you can't be the person you want to be.
But then at the same time, I'm like, how badly do you really want to be that person? If you know how to be that person, but you're just not. Because he's saying all of these things and then the opposite. And it's just interesting at the top, the line about the flowers. I brought you daffodils in a pretty string, but they won't flower like they did last spring. So that kind of, I feel like, gives a hint like, oh, even nature isn't loving how it usually is or how it used to be.
I also love the line in the second verse, and I want to cry. I want to learn to love. Because there's something about that, too, where it's, like, questioning, I guess, that other love and if that really... I don't know, maybe I'm reading into this, but I just think that's kind of a concept that, to me, resonated with something kind of like with toxic relationships, where you are told something is love, and then you move on from it, and you realize that that's not love, so you have to kind of relearn what love, true love, you know, actual, accepting, respectful, like, love is. I'm not saying that that's, like, a whole theme in the song, necessarily, but I just like that line a lot. I want to learn to love. I want to be able to learn what love should actually be like, especially with you, but I can't, because I don't know. He's cutting himself off from it. I don't know.
Well, when you say it like that, that does give it a bit of hopefulness. And, you know, I was saying, kind of agreeing with you, that a lot of that second verse is very defeatist. But I think if you look at that line the way you are, it kind of does make it. Maybe he does really want to be this person.
Yeah. I guess it brings into question, because I want to cry. I want to learn to love. Is wanting to enough? Are you going to be able to meet that want with action?
Yeah. I think that is interesting, too.
Also...
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, we have to talk about the ooze. Because they're so fucking good. Like, they are, like, almost ghostly to me. They create such a strange atmosphere in the song. It's, like, ethereal but vengeful. And I'm just, I don't know, I love when the ooze kick in, with the drums kicking in. And the, I don't know, the song just builds in such
a good way. These simple elements, he infuses just so much passion and emotion into, like, even his freaking oohs are just, like, kind of hit you like a gut punch. And
because they feel like they're just, it takes, like, every, I don't know, it's, you know, like, when you can hear, I think it's about Phoebe Bridgers' I Know the End, or, like, Mitski's Nobody, when you can just see they gave it their fucking all, like, at that point. Yep. Like, that sound came from within them with power and purpose. And I kind of feel that about the oohs in this song, too. They come out hard. They're not light and floating. No. They're like, I'm gonna pack a punch.
Yeah. I do just start to finish feel everything he's feeling in this, which I adore. I will say, though, that is my favorite line in the entire song, and every time I think of this song, I think of this line, and if somebody hurts you, I want to fight, which, great line, but the way he sings it, it's just, I can hear it all the time, and if somebody hurts you, I want to fight, like, it's so good.
Ugh. No, I agree. I really love that one. I think it's probably one of my favorite lines, too.
Really? Is that your favorite?
I'd have to think about it, but it's definitely one of my favorites. Probably one of them. I like the second verse better than the first, just because I kind of like the anger element.
I'm so sad. Neither of us have seen him, like, you know, be passionate and angry in real life.
Someday.
While singing this. Someday. Yeah. Out of context.
The bridge gets, like, even...
seen him being angry one day. Anyways.
I was going to say, though, I love the bridge, too, a little bit, because it becomes even more unhinged. Mm-hmm. There's ooze, but then, like, at one point, there's yelling in the background.
Yes.
Also, and you're like, what the fuck is this? And I I want to sing a song that'd be just ours, but I sang them all to another heart, and I want to cry, I want to fall in love, and all my tears have been used up. So it's really weird, because the bridge is saying essentially what the chorus is saying, but musically it does something really different there, which...
It's up like a notch, for sure.
Yeah, you can see this. It feels like almost like that anger that was present builds to like this almost like disorientation of just being so confused and not knowing how to move forward that he's frustrated himself at everything. And
I think it's the climax of the song, like the pinnacle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting that he can create these different feelings, how each chorus feels distinctly in the bridge its own and like has a different feeling, but despite the fact that it's just the same words that are repeated and not very diverse.
And I think during the bridge you can, like, when he's playing the piano, almost envision slamming it, you know, the keys. It's just the energy he's creating, especially in the bridge, I think. Which is interesting that it takes, it's half the song is kind of more mellow and then it's just anger.
Yeah
I guess that could describe too his feelings, like, oh, I was, you know, sad boy, and now I'm just, like, upset that I can't get past this in some senses. Also, I don't know if this would change your perception of the song at all, but Tom O'Dell has been very open recently about his anxiety. He definitely is super, like, in tune with his emotions, and you can feel it through his songs. But also, and I'm just thinking about getting... I don't know, songwriting is wild, because just putting this song out for millions of people to hear, and it is you just struggling. It's impressive.
No, it's true, and that's interesting, too, because it does make me think of the song, and I guess we were already kind of getting to this point of saying this, but that's really relatable, I guess, like the feeling, I don't know, like when you have depression or anxiety of, like, wanting to be able to do something normally and not being able to because you're hindered by that mental illness, and, like... wanting to be able to do something and not worrying about everything, or like wanting to be able to love someone and not being so burdened by the anxieties of all the past situation that's happened and being so having your energy used up. And I don't know, so that poor Tom, but yeah, that does emphasize that point even further, knowing that.
Yeah, he, I think, and it's something that I just know, I think, is just raw talent, is the fact that he can sing no bells and whistles, just his voice, and it'll sound beautiful.
Yeah, I love his voice.
Also the thing that is tying through all these, like, him experimenting, but also him at his core, is just this, like, gorgeous lyricism, and he's so talented, I think, lyrically and as a songwriter.
Love that. Tom O'Dell, another love.
He's another love of ours.
And any other closing thoughts on it?
Another thought I have is that who hurt him? Because...
Yeah. We'll fight. Tom O'Dell's a cute little boy. I shouldn't say cute little boy. He's a cutie.
He is.
He's just a cute string bean indie boy, and I like him.
Got some great songs out of it. Heartbreak always makes the best songs, I think, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Ugh. Annie, what are we doing next week?
I don't know. This was almost a hard one to follow, because we've had a string of weeks of songs, I think, that feel... generally really important to all of us, to both of us, so I didn't know which one to choose.
Follow that up.
So I was thinking we could maybe talk about Old Friends by Pine Grove.
Oh, interesting. I think you played that one for me before, so I've heard it a couple of times. That's sure, definitely a departure from, you're right though, from the last couple.
I guess it's also sad though. I know, I kept being like, I should pick a happy song. We've done so many kind of sad ones. And then I was also like, I should pick a female, because we've been doing a lot of males.
I feel like that's true.
But I wanted, I don't know, I just didn't have any that, like, came straight to mind, so.
That's all right. We'll do Old Friends by Pine Grove.
Yeah.
I feel like that's us dipping into a different genre, though, too, so that's kind of cool.
So next week we'll be talking about Old Friends by Pine Grove and Annie Pick. So that'll be exciting.
This is a great song. All in all, I feel like I said that so aggressively. This is a great, well, I'm channeling Tom. This is a great song.
This is a great song! Oh. And this is a great episode. And if you like us, you should support us. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter, even though I never tweet anymore on our account. I always forget about our Twitter account.
You're funny, Annie. Yeah, you have followers. Use your funniness.
I'll have to work on being funny again for Twitter. I'll get there.
We need to plan to have breaks when Mercury's
happening. Yeah, maybe
that should
be our weeks off. It's just when Mercury starts.
Yes.
Mercury retrograde.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we just want to say we love you guys. Thanks for listening.
Head empty. Yes.
No thoughts, head empty.
Please.
We'll see you next week.
Love you and leave you.
Bye.